Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage, Chiefs of FullPressCoverage.com, as we are getting ready to turn the page to Patriots Week on the Chiefs schedule. But before we do that, we will go ahead and recap Monday Night Football between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. On this Wednesday edition of the show, we want to take one last peek and kind of recap the big moments that stood out. And, of course, this game, you know, the way we saw the Chiefs play against the LA Chargers going in, this was a really, really weird feeling going into this game. The Chiefs have usually done well to play good against bigger opponents like this. I mean, we saw it against the Ravens the last 2 years at home at Arrowhead Stadium. But a win like this was a little bit surprising, especially because the Ravens, right, and Lamar Jackson, overall, They have seen a lot of wins. I mean, Lamar Jackson going into this game only had three losses as a starting quarterback, two of them to Kansas City in the regular season. So this was a surprising game to see it go the way it did. And the Chiefs really were only hurt by themselves. You had self-inflicted wounds, the fumble by Darwin Thompson. There were some missed kicks by Harrison Butker, which is kind of surprising to see from him. The conditions looked good on the field and during the weather that night. So I don't know what exactly. Sometimes it's just that kind of night for kickers. But we've never really seen Butker do that. And it's just funny that he had a night like that coming off of the 58 yarders he made back to back to beat the Chargers. But overall, you know, for the Kansas City Chiefs, a dominant game. There was also, I think, a questionable call on the 4th-and-1 where the Kansas City Chiefs were snuffed out near midfield by the Ravens defense, one of the better plays by the Ravens D in that game. And I think overall with the Chiefs, they're not that kind of team to try to run the ball in short yardage situations. I think overall they're a better team in those situations when they have the ball in the air. I thought they were actually going to try to do like an RPO type play, maybe get Kelce out on a quick drag or slant route and throw it, you know, quick as the Ravens were trying to pressure like they did all night. And it was interesting to see how often the Ravens continue to blitz, because Mahomes ended the night, I think, 12 of 15 against the blitz, about 150 yards with two touchdowns and no interceptions. So overall, this was a game where the Ravens defense, I give them credit for trying to be creative late in this game with defensive end Matthew Judon. They were kind of bringing him as a blitzer from the off-ball side of the field. And overall, you know, they were just trying to loop him around and make the Chiefs offense try to think. But especially with Andrew Wiley out, you know, he was taken to the hospital in Baltimore before the game due to a stomach illness. It doesn't look like it's going to be too serious there. There was speculation that it could have been appendicitis. But even without Andrew Wiley, this offensive line held up pretty well against the Ravens' blitzes all night. And of course, Mahomes, an underrated part of his game is his running ability. And we saw him take off several times in this game when the Ravens brought out all-out blitzes. But now, besides those self-inflicted wounds, really the Chiefs, I mean, this was not even a game. I mean, the Chiefs could have probably scored up to 40 points. You think about the drive where Darwin Thompson fumbled. They were going to get at least three there. Harrison Butker, basically with his missed kicks, that was about 4 points that they had there. So you're looking anywhere, you know, the Chiefs ended up scoring 34. They could have realistically scored anywhere from 38 to probably 41 for sure in this game. So that's very encouraging for the offense coming off a game that they had against the Chargers. And I think some of that was maybe designed by Andy Reid just to kind of wait till this game to pull out some of these creative play calls that we saw. He was going all out in this game. Of course, one of my favorite plays that we saw in the game was the touchdown pass to offensive tackle Eric Fisher. And then you had the underhand flip on the touchdown to Anthony Sherman, where that was a really nice play by the Chiefs because the Ravens were keying in on Tyreek Hill all night. And that was a play where the Chiefs put Tyreek Hill in the backfield as a single back, you know, faked it to him, and then the underhand flip to Sherman. So the creative play calls, some of that was maybe designed to play a little bit of possum against Baltimore and wait to bring those out. But overall, just a great night by Andy Reid, being the wizard that we know he can be offensively and that much more. But yeah, with this recap, you know, we already talked right there a little bit of really just the self-inflicted wounds. We'll talk a little bit more about both sides of the ball, and just kind of really what maybe stood out surprisingly in a good way and a bad way for each team in this game. But let's go ahead and take a look at the scoring sequence here before we go any further on this game recap. So the Chiefs started out the game on defense, and the Ravens, I think, did a good job in this first drive to really utilize their running game. The option kind of style that they had really kind of put the Chiefs in a bind at times of really just not being able to totally come up and make a play. They had to sit and watch and really make the right reads. And the Ravens in the red zone, though, they got stuffed a little bit on one run by Mark Ingram, I believe, and then a pass that was completed. Tyrann Mathieu made a good play to push Willie Snead out. So the Ravens tacked on a field goal on their first drive to go up 3-0. The Chiefs ran a 6-play, 70-yard drive for their first drive of the game where Mahomes scored a touchdown on a 3-yard scramble. Obviously, the extra point was missed there. The Ravens then punted on their second drive. The Chiefs scored another touchdown where Mahomes found Sherman on that underhand flip that we talked about on that creative play by Andy Reid. This time, the extra point was good. It was 13-3. And then the Ravens got a touchdown on a 93-yard kick return by a rookie from Texas, Devin Duvernay, speedy wide receiver. I believe he was maybe a track guy for the Texas Longhorns. I know that has been designed at times the last couple of years by special teams coach Dave Tobe to sometimes kick it short and allow the coverage guys to go down and make the play and make the tackle short for a short return, essentially. But I don't really blame Butker for that. I think this was just more of an entire special teams unit problem on this play. Devin Duvernay did a good job setting up his blockers and ran down the far sideline for the score there. The Chiefs then had a punt. This was a tough drive there for the Kansas City Chiefs. Really their only punt of the game. Again, they did have some fumbles and missed field goals and obviously the turnover on downs later, but this was a tough punt because you're coming off the kick return touchdown by the Ravens, and they only made it 6 yards on this drive in 3 plays before they had to punt. Didn't chew a lot of time off the clock, but thankfully after that, the Ravens punted, and the Chiefs got the ball back to score a touchdown where Mahomes found Tyreek Hill, about as beautiful of a ball as you'll see on that type of play, where Hill, you know, I think that was a play where they really broke it down on ESPN, where Tyreek Hill made it tough on the defender because of how he kind of crossed the field a little bit there and really kind of set up his shoulders late to where he was breaking, which made it tough on the defenders. Mahomes just put it in the perfect spot right above the head of the defender and into the breadbasket for Tyreek Hill. So a 20-yard touchdown made it 20-10 Chiefs. The Ravens punted again after that, and then the Chiefs got another touchdown where Mahomes found Mecole Hardman on a 49-yard touchdown pass. This was an interesting play where Marcus Peters, of course, the former Chief cornerback, something that Chiefs fans already know is he does a lot of watching of the quarterback's eyes in the backfield and really has a tough time sticking with receivers on these deep routes. And with Mecole Hardman's speed, he's probably the Chiefs' best deep threat. Tyreek Hill, don't get me wrong, obviously is a deep threat, but I think Tyreek Hill's that guy where any route, he can run any route. He's essentially a number one wide receiver now with the development that he has shown over these last 4 to 5 years in his career. But Mecole Hardman, I truly think, is their best deep threat. And this was a play that reminded me a little bit of the Wasp play in the Super Bowl, just because Mahomes had a deep drop back and he really waited for the receiver to get down the field. In this case, Hardman wide open. And you know, Marlon Humphrey was kind of also on the coverage on this play, but really it was just a good job by Hardman. I mean, the Ravens were kind of surprised, I think, with this play call by Kansas City once again, and with Hardman doing a little out and up, he was wide open. And this was a ball where Mahomes, I mean, he, I think, was getting pressured right in his face. I think I said Marlon Humphrey was on the coverage. Marlon Humphrey was on the blitz there. He was close to getting to Mahomes on that play. But yeah, Marcus Peters got beat by watching the backfield. And then I believe it was Deshaun Elliott was somewhat trying to run after Hardman on that play as well. So that made it 27-10. And then we saw the Ravens fumble. Chris Jones did a good job in this game. Chris Jones made a lot of big plays. He had two forced fumbles, that one that was forced, I believe, near the sideline on a play where Lamar Jackson was scrambling to his left, where he basically fumbled it out of bounds, but it went down as a forced fumble for Chris Jones. So this is the kind of game where Chris Jones thrives in, and we'll talk about the defensive side of the ball as a whole, as far as just how easy they made this game look in their pass rush. But yeah, fumble there, but unfortunately for the Chiefs, it led to a missed field goal by Butker, and then it was halftime after that with the Ravens, you know, running a couple of plays. The Chiefs fumbled right after halftime with the Darwin Thompson fumble. The Ravens would get a field goal to make it 27-13. Chiefs had that turnover in, on downs, and again, I just don't think they're that kind of team that is best suited to run the football in those short yardage situations. And I wonder if Darrell Williams was a little banged up. I mean, they used Darwin Thompson a lot in this game as well. I don't know if they were a little leery of using Darrell Williams just because he was coming into this week with a bum ankle. So maybe that was a reason why we didn't see more Darrell Williams. He had a big play late in the game, fourth quarter, to chew up some clock and pick up a first down. But that was just an interesting play call overall, like we said. The Ravens would make it a 7-point game with the touchdown after that turnover on downs, where Lamar Jackson found Nick Boyle, the backup tight end, for a 5-yard score. Juan Thornhill was really close to getting his hand on the football on this pass. He was just a tick late. And I think overall that's unfortunately kind of where Thornhill is at. I mean, it's a better place. He could be in a lot worse situation right now coming off that torn ACL from week 17 of last year. But I think torn ACLs, especially for safeties and defensive backs, it's tough that first year back to really get back to 100%. I think this is more of an injury for a defensive back where it takes a couple of years really for him to really be back to his own self. And, you know, he's a second year player anyways. So, but overall, I didn't think it was bad coverage, just a tick late though on the reaction. Good throw by Lamar over the middle. The fourth quarter, the Chiefs started it off with the touchdown, where it was that special play to Eric Fisher. The Ravens had no idea that was coming on the 2-yard score. And that was, I believe, on a third down play. I'm going to look at that real quick here. See if I can find it. Okay, no, it was first and goal. I thought it was a third down play, but first and goal was the touchdown pass to Eric Fisher. The Ravens would turn it over on downs after that just because they were driving. We saw them get at the Kansas City 17-yard line, I believe. Or no, sorry, the 13-yard line of the Chiefs. And then Lamar Jackson took a 10-yard sack where Frank Clark got back there. And I've kind of talked about this through the first couple of weeks. Frank Clark has had a lot better get off at the line of scrimmage. His first step quickness is really showing right now. And this was a play right here where the Ravens just looked like they had no answer for him. Frank Clark was back there. Taco Charlton also had a pretty good pass rush in this game in the later moments where he pushed the offensive lineman that was blocking him into Ben Neiman, which opened up the door for Taco Charlton to get his own play at the quarterback there. So that led to that 10-yard sack, led to a 4th-and-24 for the Ravens. They pretty much had to go for it at that point, down by 14. Jackson lobbed a deep pass up there on the left side for Miles Boykin. Rashad Fenton, I believe, was on coverage there. He kind of wanted an offensive pass interference call. Didn't get one either way. It probably wouldn't have mattered because the, you know, if the offensive pass interference happens in the end zone, the ball is still going to be in a better spot for Kansas City there after the turnover on downs compared to the penalty. So the Chiefs would run out the clock a little bit after that. They did turn it over on downs, didn't opt for a field goal on a short 4th-and-1 attempt, but overall just a dominant game. So that was kind of the scoring sequences. We'll take a quick break here. We'll talk what stood out both offensively and defensively for the Kansas City Chiefs, and also for Baltimore, what surprised me from them. So we'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the FPC Chiefs podcast. Recapping the Monday night win over the Baltimore Ravens, the Kansas City Chiefs made a statement in this game. And it's not like this was a team that had no chance of winning this game, but I think a lot of people were down, including myself a little bit on the team just because of that Chargers game. Where I just thought this was going to be a tougher game defensively, and the defense is what really stood out to me. Not that the offense had obviously an unsuccessful game. I thought it was very noteworthy what the offense did, the way they were able to start fast and the creativity that they showed. But to me, the defense, right, it really stood out because Lamar Jackson in this game only totaled about 180 yards, 97 passing, 15 of 28 for a touchdown, no picks, and then 9 carries, 83 yards. I think he did a good job when there was definitely nowhere to fit the ball into of taking off and running and utilizing the legs and the gifts that he has there. But overall, I just thought Lamar looked off in this game. I don't know if he was just kind of confused with the way the Chiefs were running some blitz packages because the Chiefs do blitz a lot. But it was kind of an interesting night because they lost L'Jarius Sneed to a broken collarbone, which is really frustrating. Great start to the season for the rookie. And even in this game, before he went down, was playing really well. Hopefully, with a broken collarbone, it won't be that long of a timetable for him to come back. I mean, we've seen some players come back relatively quickly from that. I think I was reading something on Twitter. One of the former Chiefs trainers that I follow, I think he said even with surgery, some players can come back in 6 weeks' time. The good thing is the Chiefs showed on Monday Night Football that they can run these four safety sets. And a lot of the nickel and dime packages that the Chiefs were running on Monday night, they used four safety sets where Sorensen, Tedrick Thompson, Juan Thornhill, and Tyrann Mathieu were on the field. And Tedrick Thompson's kind of one of those guys for me right now that could prove to be a pretty important, underrated signing for this team. They picked him up, former Seahawk, in the middle to late part of training camp, and so far, man, he's done a good job in these big moments where third down passes. It's an obvious passing situation, third and medium, third and long, and he had some big hits in this game. One was Marquise Brown on a crossing route over the middle, stuck a lick on him. So I think Tedrick Thompson and just the trust they have in a lot of these defensive backs, especially the safeties and the other cornerbacks, I think they'll be okay without L'Jarius Sneed. But obviously, right now, Charvarius Ward is still trying to get back to 100% from that fractured hand. Bashaud Breeland will still be out this week against the Patriots because of the suspension. So overall, I think the Chiefs are still going to be in a good position, but seeing L'Jarius Sneed go down really stinks. But I think for the Ravens offense, what surprised me in this game was just how quickly they kind of went away from that running game. I think it really threw off their pace, and obviously they lost a lot of momentum. I get that when you're playing the Chiefs, you try to be a little more aggressive and put up a lot of points, but I just thought this was a game where knowing the Chiefs' run defense was probably their weaker part compared to the pass defense, I thought this was a little surprising to see that the Ravens went away from the running game as early as they did because they only had 28 pass attempts, but only 21 rushing attempts in this game. Now, some of that is, Chiefs had a lot of time of possession as well. But 21 rush attempts is really surprising. Mark Ingram only had 7 carries in this game for 30 yards. We saw the other two running backs combined for 5 carries. The rookie J.K. Dobbins only had 1 carry in this game, and I thought he'd have a little more opportunities. Gus Edwards had 4 carries, led the three running backs there in yardage with 39. So easily Lamar Jackson with his legs in this game was probably the best part of the night for the Ravens offensively. But yeah, just kind of a surprising night receiving wise as well. We didn't really see much from the wide receivers overall for Baltimore. And I know they kind of rely on their running backs and tight ends, but I thought if they wanted to beat the Chiefs in this game, they needed to utilize those wide receivers a little more. We saw only 2 catches on 6 targets for Marquise Brown, 2 catches for Devin Duvernay, Willie Sneed, and Miles Boykin only had 1 catch. So the tight end, Mark Andrews, usually pretty reliable. He had some bad drops in this game. I mean, the biggest one was the touchdown. At that point, I think it was 34 to 20. Gonna look back here at those scoring drives real quick. I think it was on that drive where the Ravens ended up turning it over on downs, essentially. Yeah, it looks like it was on that play where. It was on that drive where the Chiefs got that 10-yard sack, and then it led to the turnover on downs after the 4th and 24, the last full drive the Ravens had in this game. So kind of just surprising to see Mark Andrews, the tight end, have a tough night with drops, only 3 catches, 22 yards. The leading receiver for the Ravens in this game only had 38 yards, and that was J.K. Dobbins. So he didn't get a lot of opportunities running the football. Receiving, he was a little more utilized. But I think overall, just with Steve Spagnuolo, it was crazy that they really didn't have to rely much on extra blitz and extra pressure, because I was just surprised Kansas City was winning a lot of battles with just a 4-man rush. Chris Jones on the fumble that he forced, that the Chiefs recovered, you know, getting his hand on Lamar Jackson, forcing the ball to top three. That was a simple 4-man rush. The Ravens, I mean, overall just don't seem to be in sync as much as they usually are offensively, or with the offensive line and their blocking right now. They gave up 4 sacks, I believe, last week, or in week 2 to the Texans, and now you got this game in week 3 where the Chiefs were getting some simple pressure pretty easily. So I think overall the Chiefs defense in this game, though, showed that they can kind of play just as well as they did to end last season. I think a lot of people kind of look at late last season right now as a fluke, but overall, you know, they've made some strides, and they're always kind of been a bend don't break defense, even with Spagnuolo. But overall, I think they showed in this game that their coverage ability is a lot better than it was just a couple of years ago. And right now, I think overall, they feel comfortable with running those nickel and dime packages at a higher rate than they did late last season. So right now, I think they're confident even with their depth, despite losing L'Jarius Sneed. Hopefully, he'll be back sooner than later, but we'll find out his timetable there. Offensively in this game, we already kind of talked about the Andy Reid creativity, but Patrick Mahomes, obviously, his game in this one was, I just think when you look at him in these moments, right, the fact that he's so concentrated, and he had one play where he pump faked, pulled the ball back in, he kind of jumped when he threw it and pump faked and then ran a little bit and threw back across his body into the middle of the field. There's just a lot of quarterbacks that aren't able to do that. I mean, pump faking and holding on to the ball in that moment for some quarterbacks is not easy to do. And then you obviously have the throws that he makes while on the run. We talked the stats earlier of what he was in this game against the Ravens blitz calls, 12 of 15. But just his ability to work outside of the pocket and have the accuracy and timing that he still has on the run was pretty impressive. He did become the fastest player to reach 10,000 career passing yards in this game. He needed 75, I believe, coming in. He finished with 385 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. And I think this was also a kind of game that this is not just what Andy Reid wants the offense to be with the creativity, but it's also what he wants everybody to do. And that's everybody gets a piece of the pie. I mean, you look at the receiving in this game, Travis Kelce, 6 catches, 5 for Tyreek Hill, 5 for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Sammy Watkins had the most receptions in this game with 7. Mecole Hardman had 4. So just getting everybody involved, that's kind of always been the designation of this Chiefs offense, and it came to fruition Monday night. And that's something not just Andy Reid wants to do. Patrick Mahomes loves to spread the ball around, getting as much people involved as he can. And I think overall, I mean, again, we saw it Monday night. We've talked about it other times with this offense. I mean, seeing how they played against a good Ravens defense, which, again, the Ravens are a good defense, but the Chiefs made him look like a average defense in this game. And I think we saw it once again Monday night that sometimes it's just the Chiefs themselves as a team or as an offense that beat themselves more than anybody. So that kind of stood out to me Monday night. I was actually surprised they ran the ball as much as they did in this one. It seems like they didn't run the ball that much overall, but they did run it 31 times. Clyde Edwards-Helaire got 20 carries for 64 yards, and he had some tough runs where, once again, he was carrying guys after contact and getting a few extra tough yards. Mahomes had the touchdown run. He had 4 total runs in this game for 26 yards. We saw Tyreek Hill, first play of the game, get a reverse. He had 2 carries, as did Darwin Thompson and Darrell Williams. Anthony Sherman had the 1 carry on the 4th-and-1 attempt that was snuffed out. So overall, I mean, I think this was the perfect kind of game that the Chiefs like to have. Obviously, you would have liked to maybe not allow the kick return touchdown, but, you know, only allowing 13 points to Lamar Jackson and that offense was pretty impressive. Being able to hum as good as they were offensively in this game, You take away those self-inflicted wounds. I mean, this could have been a game. You don't have the kick return touchdown, and you come away with those actual points that were, negated because of turnovers or whatever. This could have been possibly a 41-13 win for the Kansas City Chiefs against the Baltimore Ravens, who, I mean, I think a lot of people know how good they can be, but I think it just goes to show in these big games that, right now the Ravens are still learning. And the Chiefs are used to showing up in these big moments right now. And Lamar Jackson said it best after this game, that the Chiefs remain the Ravens' kryptonite. So I think that's a good way to put it, to kind of put a closing end to week three. We'll put put this out today on Wednesday. We're going to turn our attention now to Chiefs versus Patriots this Sunday for week four. Another entertaining game coming up, 3:25 Central Time on Sunday. From Arrowhead Stadium, it'll be Jim Nance and Tony Romo on the call for CBS, I believe, on Sunday. The Patriots look just as good with Cam Newton at quarterback. So I am hoping to have a guest on the show Friday. We'll see what kind of happens with that, or whenever this podcast is able to come out. We'll kind of look at the schedules and see if all goes to plan. But if not, we'll still have a preview episode out here on the FPC Chiefs podcast. Before the Chiefs and Patriots kick off on Sunday, we'll have some articles start coming out as well, looking at the Patriots from behind enemy lines. We'll have the game preview piece and hopefully another piece as well, as I kind of try to siphon through some more ideas. But of course, you guys can always follow all of our podcasts and articles in one place. If you download the Full Press Coverage app, you can get that at the App Store, download it, and also, not just that, I mean, all of our podcasts can also be found on iTunes, or anywhere you get your podcast. So be sure to follow us there, and give us a follow. We always appreciate it. It's just good right now to have the NFL season rolling, especially when we didn't think we would be possibly able to have it. So everything's going well right now. Stay tuned for more Chiefs content, and, of course, follow Full Press Coverage and, the Full Press NFL account as well on Twitter. You guys can follow the Full Press Chiefs account at FPC_Chiefs. Follow myself at BradenHolacek9 with the number 9 at the end. And I think that's going to do it here. We will see you guys next time. Thanks for listening.